I'm going to start in John 3:16. Can you believe that? Do you know that verse? There is in the great plan of redemption a legal side, an experiential side. You can experience experiential any way you want to spell it. That's the way I'm going to spell it. I have a secretary, I don't have to spell. The scripture reveals what's legally yours, what's rightfully yours, what has been purchased by blood. There's some things that belong to you. There's a difference in something belonging to you and you actually in possession of that. You actually sensing it in your circumstances or in your body, in your mind, in your household. The key that goes from what's legally yours to what's experiential, that means you see it, you hold it, you have it, is faith. Faith is that bridge that brings the legal into manifestation. The fact that it's legal doesn't mean you'll ever possess it. It means it's available. The legal side is what's available. A-B-L-E, yep. The experiential side is what you have at present through your faith. Now, I want us to go through the legal side because I think it'll help us and give us understanding. There are some things that are purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first is eternal life. It's available. It's available to all. But it only comes to those that what? Believe. What you believe, you receive eternal life. But eternal life's available. It's available to the sinner who ends up in hell. It was available to him. There was a gentleman in our neighborhood whose son died tragically. And Wayne's father was a tremendous gospel witness. And he went and talked to the father, tried to explain the plan of salvation to him. And he said, I'm not going to receive Jesus because my son didn't know him. And I'm going to be with my son. And in spite of the fact that you would say your son wouldn't want you to be with him, he could not be persuaded. It was legally his, though. It had been purchased by blood. Purchased by blood. Purchased by blood. Legally his. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him, that's how you get it. Well, you can't believe anything you haven't heard. And you know hearing and believing go together. You've got to hear in order for faith to come, in order to believe something. Now look at John 5. I'm going to give you a number of scriptures today just to lay the foundation. Verse 24, I love this verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him. In order to believe, you've got to hear. You've got to know something. Hath everlasting life. Shall not come into condemnation. Was passed from death unto life. The way to pass from death, from spiritual death into eternal life, to have the very life and nature of God, is to hear the message of salvation, to hear of the death, hear of the resurrection, and to believe that, and then to say or confess or to act on that. And those are the three prongs of faith: to hear, to believe, and to act. Saying and confession being the first and primary ingredient of action. You have to take action based upon what you heard. You know, sometimes things don't happen. Someone asks you, well, didn't you know that? Didn't you hear that? I said, yeah, but I just didn't do anything about it. You ever been there? Well, once you hear, you're responsible to do something with the message that you've heard in order for life to come. Eternal life. It says, he that believeth, this is what I want you to see in this verse, he that heareth my word and believeth. Hear and believe. Now look at Romans 10. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, that's verse 13. Whosoever shall call, which is another word for say, say, call, on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call. And this verse, how shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to give out the message. Somebody's got to be the transportation for the good news. You've got to hear, you've got to believe, and then you've got to call or confess or act. And it's this method that brings what is rightfully yours. It's yours whether you ever have it or not. It's yours. It was bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It belongs to you. And so you've got to hear and believe. Now, early in this chapter, you're born again. You know how you got born again. Here's the procedure, verse 9. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised from dead, you will be saved. You've got to confess. You've got to believe. Well, obviously, you're not going to believe in anything you haven't heard. We read that at the end of this chapter. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's not just the message of man, it's the message of God. Men bring that message, but it has to be the message of God that you've heard, that you've concentrated on, that has penetrated your inward man, and then you believe Jesus died for you and rose from the dead, and you confess him as his Lord. Now, every legal provision of the scripture comes exactly that way. Doesn't matter if it's healing, doesn't matter if it's finances, you have to believe what God said. He said, I'll meet all your need out of my riches and glory. You've got to believe that. He said, if you give, it'd be given unto you. If you want finances, you've got to tithe, bring all the tithes of the storehouse, they'll be meeting my house. Prove me, said the Lord, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You've got to hear that. Sometimes you have to hear it and hear it and hear it.